Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan.
Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. J.D. Bunk, a Salish Profile. Ailish going to Backstreet Boys for Canada Day, which is pretty sweet.
Hell yeah, I am.
I know. I won't lie. I would
Back
100%.
Backstreet's back. All right.
I would 100% go to Backstreet. But
they play two nights this weekend for Torontonians.
But I already have Canada Day plans, and there's no way that I rebound and want to do Backstreet.
I know. It's going to be a long day for me. I'm going Jay's game. I'm going pre-drink Jay's game, post-drink Backstreet Boys. And then it's just going to be a long one. I'm going to have to really pace myself and prepare.
Knowing you, you won't pace yourself. Like, I've seen you. I remember the home opener. You forget that I was there and you were there.
I love when you try to make this
stumbled into my
narrative.
Section. It's not make. I didn't try to make a narrative. You got absolutely bombed on there's only one person I've ever seen drunker at a Jays game, and that's Ben Ennis. And, like, you and him have gone in the hall.
No, it was Vic's friend. Remember him?
Well, yeah, no, it's yes, of course.
He was in a bad spot.
Yeah, that was, again, Vic's friend. That was a tough – right at the end of the game, too. Like, but that doesn't count because it's just, like, I'm talking about, like, real friends of the show. Like, our people that are at the games and go. It's, like, you and Ennis.
Surprised
like,
they let me back, eh? I'm not banned from the Rogers Center.
No, you don't get banned from the Rogers Center from getting too drunk. Like, you got to have a whole kind of like.
You got to fight someone like that girl in the 500s.
Yeah, when I was younger, I tried to sneak booze into the Rogers Center and I got busted, which is like the all-time dumbest
thing.
Like
in a water bottle?
No, I had a Mickey taped to my leg.
Oh my God, that's so stupid.
I know. And well, we used to do it at hockey games in Ottawa all the time, and it just always worked. It was a bottle of Captain Morgan's
rum. They probably didn't
even
have security there.
No, but that was the thing, is that I was in line with a guy and I was in line with a female who was like, I was like, oh, maybe she's not going to pat down like up there, you know, it's your thigh. And then I stayed in the line even though the other one was open. So like, I think I made myself suspicious and they did the extra thing. I remember thinking like when it happened, I was like, oh my God, I'm banned from the Rogers Center for life. It's like, no, you're not. Anyways, our next guest probably should be because... I don't know. Pick a reason. This insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's he of the MMA Hour and the Ariel Helwani, Substack.com. It's Ariel Helwani. Good morning.
Oh, well, well, well. What? Look who it is. Yeah. My old friends from Sportsnet 590. Wow. Haven't called me in like 6 to 8 months. No one cares about me. No one wants to talk to me. Ever since I became an American citizen, I've been shunned from the six, from 590. I mean, I'm on the other channel over there. They can't get enough of me, and you guys won't call. And then all of a sudden, we need you. We need you at 8 a.m. on Wednesday. Yeah. You're a busy guy. You're hosting press conferences. It's UFC 276.
That's right.
No, we need you. We must have you.
And you came running back.
Yeah, Higgs, I was going to say, and what are you
not
doing?
Not even a hesitation, eh?
Listen, like a
Show
good boy,
text,
you came.
I mean, you had to twist my arm. You had to beg, actually. It was the equivalent of a beg. All right?
I don't think I begged you.
So here I am
actually...
breaking you in my presence.
I think that what I asked you over the text was, are you actually still Canadian? Because that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if the country still feels a connection to you. I've made the point. Like, you're from Montreal. Montreal doesn't even really want to be a part of the country. They want to be their own thing. They're not really Canadian. It's like a, what would you say, like, what would you say Quebec is? Like, 36% Canadian?
Well, first of all, get it right. We're talking about the province of Quebec. Montreal is its own entity, okay? And
okay,
I was just there a few days
okay.
ago, and they were showering me with praise. I mean, they literally rolled out the red carpet for us when we landed, when we descended upon Pierre Elliott Trudeau. I mean, my good friend Daniel Ricciardo was waiting at the airport with flowers for me, okay, on behalf of the city hosting the F1 Grand Prix.
Word is, so you guys put on, like, the worst F1 ever, like, because they oversold it. But, yeah, go on. Just saying. Like, that's all I heard about F1 in Montreal is disaster, disaster, disaster. Greedy Montreal tries to be too greedy about F1, ruins event, ruins F1. Like, that's all I heard. Just saying.
Oh, that's weird. Can we compare it to the Toronto Grand Prix? How does it stack up? Oh, that's right.
It's too busy here. We got too many things going on. We don't have time for Grand Prix, all right? Like, we leave it to Europe. We're like, we are our own thing. We're just like, we're more North American, right? Like, again, we're a Canadian city. Montreal, its own thing. You just said it. Like, it's not really Canadian. They have Grand Prix. Like, that's not a Canadian thing. It's a Monaco thing. Like, that's an international thing. You're a different country. It's fine.
Wow.
Number two is, you move to the States. You're there full time. You become an American citizen. Like, it's just, like, I get it, man. Like, I get it. You betrayed the country, but you weren't really ever a Canadian in the first place, so it's like, yeah, did you even betray it? It's hard to tell. Like, it's hard to tell, you know? It's a murky situation.
Of all your hot takes, this is one of your worst. It's been a big summer for Canadians in the U.S. Myself, Andrew Wiggins, too many to name. We're all filling it out here.
There's two.
And if you guys want to hold us back, so be it. But I'm happy to grace you all with my presence. I'm happy to talk a little. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk some mixed martial arts? You want to talk some pro wrestling? Do you want to talk about my guy Vladdy? I mean, can we play the clip of a year ago when you and that other guy, whatever happened to him? I don't even know whatever happened to him.
Nobody
talking
knows.
About him. You're literally fat shaming him. They were fat shaming him. Is it Ailish? It's Ailish, right? Am I pronouncing your name?
You bet.
Yeah, they were fat shaming him on the air. Incorrect. Could you imagine?
I would never.
Now they're all like, oh, he's our guy. We love him so much. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Once again, Ennis is old, the only bearer of the guy that didn't buy Vlad's stock. And again, like, yeah, you tell, say, if an athlete's not in shape, you mention it. And Vladdy wasn't in shape. He got in shape. Guy did great. Yeah, I do want to talk to you about the Jays, and I do want to talk to you about the Knicks. But first, I need to hit on a couple of just, like, quick UFC notes here. Number one is, okay, so you had Max on your show. And he was talking about Conor McGregor. And there is a, like, it got turned into, like, a lot of Conor McGregor content and whether Conor's really going to come back. And he's doing this thing with Masvidal. But I'll be honest, like, I don't really care because it's just, like, it's one of those things where I go, I'll care about it when I need to care about it. And right now it still feels very hypothetical. But he said something that really stuck with me where he went, you know, Conor's doing what we're all trying to do. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he went, the goal is to be out of the game. We're all trying to get out of the game. And, like, to a degree, I respect the honesty. And, like, listen, Max is, like, arguably my favorite fighter. I love the guy. Huge fan. But did it concern you at all, or did it click in for you at all, that the guy's talking about wanting to get out of the fight game as he approaches one of the biggest fights of his career?
No, because I think there's a little bit of gamesmanship with that statement.
Okay.
Because Max, I think, is trying to bait Conor, if I'm being honest. I think Max wants the fight. He said it
himself,
he wants the fight. So I think, yeah, but they have a history, right? They fought back in 2014. They were much younger. Conor beat Max, et cetera, et cetera. So I think part of him, he knows how competitive Conor is, and he knows that Conor would look at a statement like that and be like, what are you talking about? I'm not done. I'm coming back. I'm going to be better than ever, blah, 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 blah. So I think that there's part of that. And I also think there's part of the fact that Max is 30, but, like, really in fighting years, he's like 50. Like, the guy has been around, he's been fighting since he was a teenager. And he has looked good, and you can make a very strong case that he's the most popular featherweight on the planet, that he doesn't need the title, that he beat Alex Volkanovski in their second fight 2 years ago. But let's be honest, he takes a lot of shots. Like, he does get hit a lot, and at some point those shots are going to catch up to you. So I think there's a little bit of that as well. He just got married. Max is a very smart guy. He's talked about not wanting to spar anymore to save his brain, to, you know, he has very smart people around him. In fact, I don't know if you guys know this, the great Bobby Webster will be attending the event on behalf of Max on Saturday. They're good friends, and you know, they've hung out. His manager has gone to check out what the Raptors do. They're buddies. He's fought in Toronto a bunch of times, so he looks at the big picture. So in short, it's a little bit of, yeah, okay, maybe he realizes that the end of the road is coming at some point, regardless of the fact that it's a massive fight. But I also think, really, he's just trying to bait him.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to win this fight don't you think, to be able to get the bait with Conor? Like, I don't. It's weird because, again, the McGregor thing is, I always try to look at it through the lens of, well, who would he actually come back for? I think the smartest thing would still be Diaz in terms of, like, hey, it's probably the one that makes the most sense where we'd wonder about the competitiveness of it. It feels like the right situation for Conor, like where he's at, having been out of the fight game for some time. It still feels like the bigger payday. I'm not all that interested in the Masvidal stuff. It feels like the Masvidal shine, and again, friend of the show, but it feels like it's worn off a little bit through all this Colby stuff. And yeah, Max I'd like to see, but it's just he needs to win this fight. And this kind of leads me to the two other things with Max, which is, one, do you think he actually needs this to, like, solidify a legacy? Because I think a lot of us thought he did win that fight, the second one against Volk, but he did lose in a split decision. A lot of us were upset about it. But and also, secondarily off this, is a two-part question. This is not the best way to do these things. But do you think that's why we don't love Volkanovski, or, like, the UFC at large doesn't seem to embrace this guy? Because he is a cool champion, and he is somebody who's, like, a pretty badass. He's unique. He's interesting. And it just feels like no one's ever embraced the guy, and partially is because people feel like it's like he stole something from Max in that fight in Abu Dhabi.
Okay, well, I'll say four things. Number one, if they did want to make the Max Holloway versus Conor McGregor rematch, there doesn't need to be a belt attached. Like, Conor's not fighting for the 45. Max doesn't need the 45 belt to get Conor. That's number one. Number two, there's no chance Jorge Masvidal is an actual friend of the show. I mean, I would make a very strong bet that, you know, he has no idea who you are. Number three.
I mean, he's come on with me twice. No big deal. Said, I love you, bro. I told my manager about you. Show. Like, you know, talked. Yeah, it's like, I'm just saying. He's a friend of the show.
Okay. my opinion. So then regarding Max and the legacy stuff, I usually don't love the legacy stuff, but I actually do agree that this is a legacy fight for Max because, look, at some point, it seemed like, not that long ago, it seemed like he was en route to being the second best featherweight, and maybe if things kept going his way, the best featherweight of all time because he had the wins over Jose Aldo. And then here comes this short, stocky, tough former rugby player from Australia, to your point, you know, really tough, but not with an Australian name. And like, is he from Russia? What's going on? But obviously he's not, because if you hear him speak, he's not. And he doesn't really have an edge to him like Izzy does. He just seems like the regular working class type of champion, which everyone loves, but isn't the guy who's, you know, making it rain at the club, so to speak. And so he beats him one time, and it was a really great performance, but it wasn't like the greatest fight of all time that you're showing your friends if you're trying to get them involved in MMA. And then the second one was really close, and you can make a very strong case that Max won that. But like, close fight or not, if Volk wins again on Saturday, like, this is a tough thing for Max to overcome. And now he's looking at third best featherweight of all time, and he's just kind of like floating in the air in that division that he spends so much time, and that he should be considered one of the greatest ever. So, yes, I do think it is a legacy fight for Max. I don't think he'll get a fourth crack at him, even if it's a super close fight. And I will say it's one of those rare fights where there's equal amount of pressure on both guys for different reasons. For Max Holloway, he needs to beat Volkanovski so that he can move on and prove that he's better than this guy. And for Volkanovski, just for his superstardom, for his, you know, for his, like, his appeal with the crowd, hopefully he gets the fight in Australia and sell out shows there, he needs to win definitively. I don't think a 48-47 is going to do him any favors. I think him getting out of that sub against Brian Ortega last September was one of the best things to happen to his career, because even though he was seconds, milliseconds away from tapping, people were like, holy crap, this guy is the man. I love this guy. And then he comes back and he beats Zombie in a, you know, sparring match, glorified sparring match. If he can finish Max Holloway, and I know it's easier said than done, golly, now we're talking about a guy that people are going to want to pay money to watch. He needs to do that. He needs to put an exclamation point on this trilogy.
You're right. I worry for his sake. And again, I'm openly rooting for Max, but this is the thing, is that even if he does finish Max, he doesn't get the... It's the same thing when Cormier would lose, where you would think, man, Cormier is so popular, people love the guy so much, that when you beat them, you don't really get the shine. Or if same thing with Jan when he beat Izzy, where people were like, "Man, he's likable. He's a guy that people are rooting for." You beat him, and you don't really get the aftershock the same way because people aren't wanting that story. And so I just feel like even if Volk does win this thing, and even if he does it definitively, it's still not going to do him the favors. Like maybe legacy wise, maybe tip the cap and respect wise for sure. But in terms of popularity, I think that he got unlucky in a way that he had to fight one of the most likable, popular, interesting UFC fighters like that we've seen in a long time in Max, and that like his legacy has sort of been defined off of potentially beating this guy three times. All right, next one. No. Does the UFC?
I just want to say. Yeah. I think you're saying this today. I think if he knocks him out on Saturday, you'll say a completely different thing.
Maybe, probably, but that's what I do. Like, I change my opinion. I'm a weather vane, and I change my opinion, like, whatever the wind's blowing. How much does the UFC care about Sean O'Malley?
Oh, my God. They love him. I mean, just look at every single card that they put him on. It's always either this, like, International Fight Week card or, you know, another big Vegas card. They absolutely love the guy, and they should love him. Look at him. I mean, he's got an incredible look. He appeals to the younger demographic. He's fun. He delivers. Like, even if he loses like he did against Marlon Vera, and that's, I guess, somewhat controversial to people, not to me, but I guess to some. He's exciting. He doesn't deliver stinkers. He's a great showman. He's a great promoter. I mean, yes, he checks all the boxes. And on top of that, look at the way they built him up. It's been a very slow build, right? They don't want to mess this one up. Yeah, he's ruffled some feathers. He talked about his pay. He talked about things that they don't necessarily love that he talks about, but he just got a new deal. They're putting him on this big card in a showcase fight. He's fighting Pedro Munhoz, who's a name, who's been there, who's headline shows, but is clearly on the downside of his career. So it's a nice little, you know, it's a nice little feather to have in O'Malley's cap. Yeah, they're very, very high on him.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, just I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. And I know that, yes,
you don't like
it
him?
Seems... No, I do love him. I actually am a huge fan, and like, I don't know what you mean. Like, he broke his ankle in the fight he lost, so I think that the UFC has been very careful with him. They clearly have wanted him to win fights. Like, the UFC sometimes can be a little bit closer to pro wrestling than we give it credit for at times, just the way that they try to make fights early on in guys' careers. Like, you can always tell like who they really like and who they want to get big, given the level of competition and the fights that they give them early on. And I actually think that the Chito Vera thing like caught them off guard, and they went, holy crap. And then they tried to make Chito into a thing, and it was like, it didn't really work out the same way. But
Time out. I'm sorry to interrupt. Chito Vera is a freaking gangster. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He went home to Ecuador, and people were, I mean, like, it was like me coming back home to Montreal. The guy's a huge, huge deal. And by the way, hot take, he will fight for a belt at some point. He will fight for a belt. No, he is going to be a big star for the Hispanic market, so... I don't agree with that take. I don't agree with that take at all. And here's the thing. Yes, I agree with what you're saying. It is a slow build. It is pro wrestling, like all that stuff. They just don't want to mess it up. I mean, they're doing a similar thing now with a guy named Ian Garry, who's also on this card. They're doing a similar thing with Paddy Pimblett, who's fighting in a few weeks in London. But by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the boxing model, right?
I don't think there is.
You fight 20 bumps at boxing until you fight someone, you know, worth his salt. So I have no problem with that. You don't have to rush everyone.
No, I'm not. That's actually not the point I'm kind of trying to make with him. It feels like it feels like at this point he should be fighting for in ones that are a little bit more important. The slow build period, I feel like, is kind of reaching a this should be over point with O'Malley. And I don't know how much people are going to care about this one if he ends up winning, or like what the future becomes if he does win this one, which he should. I guess like that's sort of my question. We've talked about this in the past of, hey, does the UFC care about growing names the same way given like the economic model of the sport now? And I still feel like there are guys they feel like have star potential. I just wonder if he's one of them, because he hasn't felt around as much. And like, yeah, a guy like Pimblett does feel like infinity bigger than him right now.
Yeah, he's feeling that way because, you know, the English fighters are always going to have these rabid, you know, like, when Paddy Pimblett fights in London, there's 20,000 crazy Brits, drunk Brits going crazy. When O'Malley is fighting in Arizona, where he lives, like, it's just not the same. Like, when Jiří Procházka went to Czech Republic back home after beating Glover Teixeira, there were 7,000 people in the middle of the town square, you know, doing this parade for him. That just doesn't happen with American fighters. Even with North American fighters, it's just a whole different ballgame. But that doesn't, I mean, O'Malley, to me, is further along than Patty, to be honest. I think he's a better striker than Patty. I think he's more well-rounded fighter than Patty. It's just that Patty's been doing this for longer in that scene, Cage Warriors, etc. So these things to worry about. And also, can I just tell you something? Just enjoy the sport. Just enjoy the fight. Why are you so worried about the UFC's business all the time? Oh, the big stars, this, that. You know who they are. You know what the fights are. Mm-hmm. What do you care? Like, do you have a cut? Do you have a stock in Endeavor? What do you care so much about building stars and this and that? You always bring this
because
up.
I think
just enjoy. If you're, it's like boxing fans. Like, boxing is on fire right now. It's great. And then you'd be like, oh, there's no big stars. There's no network stars. Oh, in the 80s, this and that. Who cares? You have a great fight every single freaking weekend. I don't give a crap if my neighbor is watching or not. If I'm enjoying it and it's great, then I'm having fun. What do I care about everyone else?
But you're Ariel Helwani, and so, like, you get to talk to fights or about fights with everybody. Like, you're connected to a million different people. The thing I love about sports, like, I'm not a snob like you. I'm not, like, above people. Like, I'm a man of the people. And so it's like, I care about the common person. I like connecting with the common person. And so when there are stars in the UFC, people care. Like, you know, like, people still ask about Conor McGregor because he's a fighter for the common people because they know who he is. Like, I care about the people who don't have a million hours to just spend, like, looking directly at UFC. Again, you become famous, like you talked about. Like, they roll out the red carpet for me in Montreal, and I hang out with race car drivers. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it's like to be a person anymore. Like, you're just, you know, wrapped up in your own celebrity, your own, you know, what your the own hype that you build for yourself. You forget about, like, what most people like, which is star power in sports. So it's cool. Like, I get it.
Oh, I forget.
Like, it's just, it's hard. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you just, it's hard to do a segment like this with you, but I bring it up because I try to bring you back down to earth a little bit, but you're just not even capable of doing it. You're in a completely different stratosphere of, like, you know, I don't know, hubris.
I'm so worried about the stars. Yeah. I'm so worried about their stars. I'm so worried. By the way, listen, they've got this fight. Israel Adesanya is a massive star. They've got Kamaru Usman returning next month. He's the number one pound for pound. I know you're not very high on him. Leon Edwards, very big deal. Hopefully we're getting John Jones back at some point, maybe against the great Stipe Miocic. We got Francis Ngannou looming out there. Charles Oliveira is becoming a bigger name. Here's the thing. It sometimes doesn't seem this way, but it's an international sport. So while, you know, we here in North America, or dare I say America, like to just think that we rule the world, you have a situation where Jiří Procházka walks down the street in Times Square, and maybe a lot of people don't know who he is. But look at the scene in the Czech Republic when he went home. And that's okay. That's good for the sport. That's called growth. That's called international expansion, all that stuff. So it's fine. And by the way, can I just tell you something? While you're sitting over there, Sportsnet 590, with your buds at 6 o'clock in the morning, worried about the UFC's, you know, business, they're having their most successful run in the history of the company. They are killing it. Their TV deals are worth more than ever. Their sponsors aren't. I mean, like, they're, by the way, they're killing it. They're making more money than ever. The fighters aren't. They're getting less money than ever, but we can't enough to get into all of that. I'm just saying they are absolutely smashing it. So, you know, don't cry for me, Argentina. They'll be okay.
Okay, before we let you go, we definitely have to ask you about your Knicks. JD wants to take some shots.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, yeah. Just let you guys go on about your MMA drama. We could do that all day, but we got to ask you about your Knicks and Jalen Brunson. How are you feeling about all this today?
Can I be honest with you? Couldn't sleep. I am so excited that the prodigal son is returning home.
Oh, yeah.
The man who is going to save this franchise, of course. I remember back in the 90s, his father, Rick Brunson, was the 12th man on those great Knicks teams in the 90s. He was an important piece because he didn't play, but everyone loved him, and he was always there waving the towel and all that stuff. It was great. And now his son, who is infinitely better than him, who deserves all of this, who, let's be honest, was carrying Luka to the conference finals this past spring, is coming home. Tell the world he's coming home. I am very excited. They're shedding some dead weight. Nerlens Noel, see you later. Alec Burks, see you later. I thought the Knicks stole the draft last week. I thought they hit it out of the park, grand slam, all the moves that they made, Leon Rose wheeling and dealing, and I'm just counting down the minutes to July 1st at midnight, when not only Jalen Brunson is coming home, but, you know, if you just look at the salary cap situation, they've got more money than anyone. Who's the other piece? This is like, I don't know if you'll get the reference, but this is like Bash at the Beach, 1996. Who's the third guy? Well, back then it was Hulk Hogan who came out to join Scott Hall may he rest in peace, and Kevin Nash. I want to know who's the second guy, because there's a big – is it Donovan Mitchell? Is he coming home? Yeah. Is Donovan coming home as well? Is it a homecoming of homecoming? It's great. So to answer your question long-winded way, I'm very excited. Look at his stats. Every year he gets better by a large margin. People want to hate on this. Oh, it's the same old Knicks. Oh, they're overpaying. Blah, blah, blah. We haven't had a young point guard like this since Mark Jackson came back home, all right?
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
yeah, it's the best. You guys are going to celebrate fourth place in the East and then get knocked out in the first round like it's
Super
Bowl again. It's great. Yeah, it's awesome.
Like you guys, the Raptors this past year?
Yeah. No, you mean the Raptors? No, the Raptors didn't celebrate anything. People celebrated Scottie Barnes. They went like, hey, we had the rookie of the year, you know, like a future piece. Imagine the Knicks had a guy like Scottie Barnes. He'd literally lead every segment on ESPN every single game. Who do you have? R.J. Barrett? Please don't say R.J. Barrett. Bad if you say R.J. Barrett.
Let me tell you something. R.J. Barrett, who is going to lead us.
People in Canada, like, we don't even care if R.J. Barrett shows up for Team Canada anymore. Yeah.
That's wow. How dare you? You know what? And you know what's going to be great? In a couple weeks, I'm going to be looking
for. We're so deep. We got, like, 30 guys better than him.
The great Rowan Barrett, I guarantee, is going to be on this show, and you're going to be like, oh, R.J. is so great. We're so excited about him over here and his progression. I guarantee Rowan Barrett's going to be on the show in the next 2 weeks because they're playing these games, and you're going to be saying the exact opposite. Remind him, Ailish, of this comment when the great Rowan Barrett is on the program.
I will.
You absolutely can. Scotty Barnes. And he'd be like, yeah, obviously Scotty Barnes is better than my son. Like, we'd kill to have Scotty Barnes on Team Canada. Like, we'd do anything. We would do this trade immediately. Like, we'll change the passports. We'll get this done. I am Rowan Barrett. I am connected in this way. We have to run. It is always fun. I wish we actually did have a little bit longer. Ariel Helwani, thanks as always, buddy.
You said we had till 8:30. You specifically said we had till 8:30. It's 8:26. Yeah. I have four more
minutes. We have to start our next segment at 8:30. You have no more time. We're actually deep into our break. We're already in trouble. You're costing us millions of dollars right now, literally. That's how much we respect you. All right, Ariel Helwani, thanks for making time. We'll talk to you soon, whenever you decide to grace us with your presence and stop rubbing shoulders with celebrities and doing whatever. Yeah, see you, man. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's do the Wake and Rake. Sports FM, Night of the Fan.
The smartest takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
It's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Wake and Rake yesterday, mine hit. Thank goodness that I kept it at the 3.5 line, because there was a 6-inning bottom of the 5th, which probably would have sent me into a... at that point in the night, waiting up that late would have sent me into a real problem. Ailish's hits, and were a base off for Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I got the old single and a walk. Instead of
walk. I will always advocate that total bases, they should just add extra juice to it and account for a walk. It's just, I don't know why the books just continue to disrespect walks. It's the toughest, and I hate saying this to you, Blake, but you know that people learned that betting on you yesterday, right? Like, there was a fan out there when they saw him draw the walk, went,
like,
yes,
wait,
and then
what?
When it didn't hit, I know. And it's like, that's the most, it's like, I still remember myself when I first started betting on soccer games, right? And I remember a Portland Timbers game. This is a D-gen bet. A Portland Timbers game where they won in penalty kicks. They won in penalties. And I went, yes, I have Timbers. And in soccer, it's like, you don't bet the penalties unless you bet the penalties. You bet the win and a full in the match. And it was like, it's painful having those stories. I know you have something for us, Ailish. What happened to you
yesterday? Yes, I have it's not me, but it's an A-list-esque betting story. I wanted to squeeze in here. So a happy couple was gifted a betting slip at their wedding. The wedding gift was presented with a message inside the card, and it said, Congratulations. Here is a bet for today, Monday, June 27th. Yankees on the run line, Cardinals on the money line, Rangers on the run money line, and Rockies on the run line. Okay, so short, that was entire card for the happy couple. The 14 parlay was plus 1286 odds. The couples received this card, placed a bet on it, and it cashed. So they won money on their gift from a friend who attended their wedding, and they won about $700 on it. So a really fun kind of wedding idea gift. It's either going to hit or it's not, instead of just putting $100 in a card. It was nice for their honeymoon fund.
That's not but,
I don't know if this is I don't know about the, like if it didn't hit, were they going to give them an alternate wedding present, or just if
I'm
it didn't
sure.
hit, it's just like, nah, no wedding present for you.
Yeah, I think that you can do that on top of a gift. It's like lottery tickets where you can put them in a stocking stuffer. But if you give someone only lottery tickets as a gift, it's like the worst possible gift you can give someone. It's like, I don't know which stand-up has that bit. Someone will remember, because that's the awesome thing about the audience, is that they always know the references, but then they always help me out. They're like my second brain. You know how your phone is your second brain? Because it's like, it has all these information stored on your numbers, everything. It's like, you need it. The listeners are kind of like that for me with references, where I'll be like, it's like that thing at that time, and then someone will always remember. Which is sweet. I love having it. It's great power. But yeah, it is that reference. The lottery tickets is nothing. It's not a gift. This is nothing.
Well, I don't know for sure if they didn't give him another gift, the happy couple, yeah. But they did give them this and it hit, which is kind of a fun wedding gift.
I actually have a question for you guys about what. So, like, the price of the brick has gone up with wedding gifts. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a like brag, but like my last wedding that I went to was very close friends, so I made the gift a little bit bigger. But do you think with inflation, the stock wedding gift plate number has gone up?
100%. I've been to, I think, two weddings this year already.
Because I went way over on my last one. And so it, like, didn't – it wasn't like a – like, but I only partially also did go way over because I was like, I don't even know what the –
you do them really well.
Well, yeah, but I've done this with both, like, so the only two weddings I've been to since, you know, well, obviously recently were, like, post-pandemic weddings, mm-hmm. and you're kind of like, you guys had to readjust, reshuffle, it's post-pandemic, now there's inflation. It's like, it's almost like you're out of the wedding game for a couple of years, and you're like, what's the price of the plate now? You know, like,
so
what's the gift, what's the plate?
$100 per plate is the minimum at this point. Do
oh,
you agree?
I think that's already below that. I would say that for me, it was always $200 is the minimum that you pay for a plate.
So,
but okay, I'm just, you know, I'm just an adult, not rude like you.
Yeah, yeah.
Blake would agree with
yet.
Me that 200 is the minimum for a plate.
We're also a little older, so Ailish is maybe in the first wave of friend weddings
I got the weddings
out of the way early on. So wedding costs.
Ailish, you're not invited to my future wedding. You're out. Like, you are.
I said
out.
It was the minimum.
Ailish, your gift is needed in advance. You know, like, we're going to need an advance on your gift before we send you the invitation.
If I get an invitation, you have to scan my. All right.
So,
what do you got, Blake?
I just found something quickly that wedding costs for the couple are up about 30%. So you gotta, that's, I think, since 2018.
But that's weird to just tack on 30% like it's a tip. You know what I mean?
No,
like, you
I'm
can't,
just
you
using
can't,
it as a yeah. reference. Like, yeah, so, yeah.
Okay.
If you were on the tighter end and gave 100 a couple years ago, mm-hmm. you know, if you're trying to keep up, it would be 130 now.
So that's hilarious that you say that, because Kevin from Markham literally just texted in and said, I got married 4 weeks ago. Minimum is $130 a plate now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. See, hey, get, you know what?
Analytics are ruining weddings.
Yeah.
You're supposed to just eye test it. How good is this meal? How good is the plating here? I'll throw it in.
I'm all eye test. I'm all gut feel. And you know what? Gut feel will backfire sometimes because you're like, and this will happen where, okay, there's obviously the worst thing that can ever happen in that scenario is you find out that you gave the least, right? Like, you never want to be the person who gave the least. That's the worst.
No, you got to prices right it. You got to find out who gave the least and give at least $1 more.
Yeah. But there is – it's not the worst, but it is the – it's not the best, I would say, when you're the person who gave the most. And you're not like – you know, the crazy rich uncle who, like, yeah, whatever. This guy's, where's he going to take it? You know, what's he going to do with it? He might as well give it to the happy young couple, as Ailish says. But, yeah, you also don't want to feel like the sucker who's like, wait, what did you guys all pay? And they're like, this, and you're like, you're way over.
Okay, I've two had texts. That Jeremy from Scarborough says, for my wedding, the bouquet we tossed, the handle was wrapped with scratch tickets. Encouraged the ladies to come to the floor. Girls won $1,500.
No way.
Yeah, way.
That's, well, I mean, according to this guy. But if that happened, that would ruin my wedding. I'd be like, I'd be so sour. I'd be just drinking a scotch, sitting like, you know, crooked face, staring at those ladies with my $1,500. Like, just put it in the kitty for me, please. And it's like, even if they give it to you because they're like, oh, it's now the wedding gift, you're like, no, I didn't get to experience the feeling of joy of winning that. Like, like I've played so many scratch tickets before. I've never won $1,500 in a scratch ticket. I win like $5, $10 on a scratch ticket. I'm like, yes, $10 worth of scratch tickets.
I think the most that's I won like, was 20, and I was like,
yeah,
I'm
like $1,500 in scratch ticket money is a once in a lifetime opportunity, unless you're just like a full out crazy degen who goes in there and gets them every day and is doing it all the time. But $1,500 would ruin my wedding. I'd be so upset. I don't care how rich I am. The experience of winning that ticket is like, I'm so upset for this guy. Like, did he get a divorce? Did the wedding, did it? Like, I feel like he was in the honeymoon
the message,
and he was just like,
Jeremy,
I wish we won that bet more than be with you. That was Jeremy. Okay, anyways, so cool. What
just
was that?
Two more here. Ken from Barrie says, at my wedding, the in-law, aunt and uncle, and two adult children gave $100 total. Oh.
Woof. By the way, this guy. Tough. I know, but
he's
this
holding
guy,
a grudge,
like,
eh?
Oh, yeah. He's like, as soon as it came up, he's like, oh. He's
get
like,
the phone. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, does this guy ever text before? No, he's choked about it.
He's on the 400 and Barrie pulls over at the en route to text us in.
You know what sucks, though? And you know why he has to put this out there like this? Is because you can never put that energy out in the universe in any other way other than with, like, a random stranger. Like, because if you do that with your family, it's like that relationship is forever changed.
Uncomfortable.
So he has to eat it, and it grows into, like, some stress ball that's going to pop out of the side of his neck one day. And then finally the Fan Morning Show does a segment, and he's like, blah, 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 and he like spits it all out, and he's like, oh, it feels so much better. So shout out to you. Yeah, you can do that. You can always
good for always you vent. Ken from Barrie is probably feeling better. Okay, Muzzin from Etobicoke, $150 per plate minimum for friends. Yeah. Only goes up from there. Immediate family, $250 and up.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
I would say
Ken from Barrie says they're now divorced.
Aw.
Woof.
Well, go back to all those bridesmaids that got only scratch tickets and no husbands. Double back.
Sorry, Kenny. Anyway, hope it's okay, bud. All right, time to move on. Wake and rake today. Jays, let's go for the sweep. Alec Manoah, the guy who never loses. He's on the bump. What are the lines today for the Blue Jays?
I got you here. So the Jays, big favorites, which is great. You want that sweep. Jays -167. Overall, it's over-under set at 8.5. Even the run line is only +125 for Jays -1.5. So, it's Alec Manoah. You know what you're getting here. He's faced the Sox. He's actually faced the Sox a weirdly small amount over the last, his career, which is about a season now. 51 plate appearances. Really successful in those 51 plate appearances. But it's a lot of tiny, like 3, 4, 5 plate appearance samples. Verdugo's had some luck against him, but that's it. On the other side, the Jays have hit Nick Pivetta pretty well. 131 plate appearances, 360 expected weighted on base average, and Bo has smashed him. One of the biggest pitcher versus hitter matchups on the board today. Bo has 21 plate appearances against him, 842 slugging. 421 batting average.
Pivetta's always sneaky, like he's Canadian, and we're always like, he wants the Jays to win, and he has
but this
a 7.27
the thing about pitching for the
ERA
Red Sox, or playing for the Red Sox,
against
is
the
just
Jays.
Like, yeah, we don't, people love the Jays more than they love a Canadian baseball player. Like, if you're a Canadian baseball player and it's harmless and the Jays are irrelevant, like, people loved Morneau, right? Because Morneau was on good baseball teams when the Jays were not doing anything. People love Votto because he was a figment of our imagination, essentially. Like, no one ever saw him. It was like, oh, yeah, you see Joey Votto's numbers? It's like, oh, apparently, like, he exists. Who knows? But no one's ever seen a Cincinnati Reds game, so, like, this is an impossible thing to actually confirm. if you play for the Red Sox and you're playing against the Jays, like, nobody really cares that you're Canadian. I don't think in the same way.
Unless you're throwing a no-hitter. Then they'll get behind you.
Yeah, then they will get behind you. But, like, I just remember, like, Jason Bay playing for them. And I was like, I loved Jason Bay before he was a Red Sox, and then he was a Red Sox, and I was like, screw Jason Bay. You know, like, I don't care about Jason Bay anymore. He's a bum. And I was like, that's the way it goes. Anyway, so, yeah, I just – Red Sox, it's the Red Sox. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you could possibly root for the Red Sox.
I will definitely not be rooting for the Red Sox tonight, but I have my wake and rake from this. And
all right, what
is it?
It
kind of comes from what Blake was just saying about Pivetta. He's got a 7.27 ERA versus Jays just this year. I was going to do the over on the game, but I really like Manoah being able to shut it down. He's dominant at home. Today's Manoah's own giveaway T-shirt. So he designed a T-shirt that is part of the giveaway. First 15,000 fans tonight will get a really cool Alek Manoah designed T-shirt. So he's going to play so well because this is his night. It's cool. It's not my favorite T-shirt. I mean, I would get it.
You can tell where Alek Manoah is from when you see that shirt. Like, you're like, oh, you're living in Florida, I see. Yeah. Like, it's not
it's
the
fine.
It's a cool
idea, though, to let the players get in on designing stuff. It's
I agree,
rare that it also lined up to be the night he's pitching. So I think it's a perfect storm for him to go all out tonight and have a dominant game.
I love Alek Manoah to the point that I don't even want to say this, right? Like, I fear. Like, I don't want him to ever know how much I think that shirt's ugly, but seeing those first commercials of that shirt and the design, they were like, they let him design a shirt. And then they showed it. I was like, way to ruin designing shirts for the rest of time for everybody else, because that's the ugliest shirt I've ever seen. Like, that's the ugly shirt.
I do agree in the narrative tonight. So I like Alek Manoah to shut it down. So I'm not going to do the full over. I'm going to do the Jays individual over today. It's set up 4.5. You say Bo has been crushing it against this team, especially this pitcher. Well, his over bases is +104 and his over hits is +205. So good value on Bo individually, but Jays over 4.5 runs is -106 on Unibet. That's going to be my wake and rake and set up the full over.
Okay. Is it worth it playing Bo for you, Blake?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, the sample there with Pivetta is pretty strong. I got to dive into some of the pitch specific stuff, but I'm a 21 plate appearances isn't the largest sample in the world, but that's a pretty remarkable. This guy has your number stretched there. Pivetta's been better this year, but I don't think he's, you know, scare you away from betting it level better.
I like the bet. I don't have the number in front of me in terms of what it is for Bo. But I would say that, yeah, if you...
Which one? Total bases or hits?
Yeah, total bases or even... like, home run numbers are never good enough for Bo, I find.
No.
Like, he's always something where it's like +450 or something stupid like that.
Home run props are one of the least efficient bets you can make.
Yeah.
It's
no,
basically,
total bases
for me,
is
it's
plus
a, I'm going to the game and I'm going to spice it up. Yeah, +104 over 1.5 total bases, Jaden.
Yeah, and I'm on that too. Like, I actually like it where you go to the ballpark and you bet like a little lottery ticket home run, because it's so fun being there if the guy that
like
you pick to hit
king
on.
Parlay.
Or if it's like an extreme long shot where you parlay some pieces together, but those are always ones to me where the odds are so long that I put such little money on it that if it hits, I'm almost like unhappy, like, because
yes.
I wish it hit more, right? So those are tough ones for me. I only bet home run props if I'm going to the game. Anyways, my pick is, of course, I'm going to stick with my first three under, because I like Pallante as a first couple of innings guy. The right-handed pitcher for the Cardinals tonight, it's Sandy Alcantara. It's two guys that have ERAs of 2. It's one guy that doesn't really punch anybody out, but I think that this is a good first three innings one. It's 3 runs. It is, yeah, under 2.5, -130 for the first 3 innings. We'll get this thing over and done with very, very quickly. But yes, 2 really good pitchers, good track record of success. I'm going to roll with this one tonight.
I'm going to go nice and straightforward. Going with the Atlanta Braves -141 at the Philadelphia Phillies. Nothing specific, nothing gimmicky. It's right on the mound for Atlanta. He's been awesome. I'm a big fan. Really enjoy watching him. On the other side, it's Ranger Suarez, who has been okay, but Atlanta's one of the best hitting teams in baseball against left-handed pitching. So just riding with the Braves outright there with the big pitching advantage and not enough negative in the bullpen to really scare you off there. So there's actually a lot of good baseball stuff on the board tonight.
Yeah, I like baseball tonight in terms of some things. I thought about I couldn't find the number. I couldn't find the number for the team total. But I was gonna offer a thought on. I think that the Dodgers are probably gonna beat around German Marquez tonight. Like I think that.
Yeah, I had Dodgers -1.5 up as a possible bet. Yeah. Urias against Marquez. Our boy Jake Lamb
runs
is up
the
with
the Dodgers. Sorry, total runs for the Dodgers is at 6.5.
That's 6.5 is a lot
and it's
of
minus
runs.
105.
Mm-hmm. That's our boy Jake Lamb is up with the Dodgers now, and he has 12 career hits against Herman Marquez.
Yeah, our boy is never going to be Jake Lamb.
He's a Blue Jays legend. Come on. Yeah,
you just said that. And I got like, oh my God, I forgot that this team had Jake Lamb. Like, that is an all time toughie. That one is not very good. Okay, so tonight's Wake and Rake is as follows. You have to give it little minimum of $130 on a plate at a wedding. That's the first piece of the parlay. That's it. Number two, Ailish Forfar likes the Jays tonight. You're going with their team total, right? The Jays team total?
Yes, over 4.5.
Yeah, see, like, again, 4.5 is like a good chunk of runs, especially with this, like, Blue Jays bullpen, like the state that it's in right now. Or, sorry, the Red Sox bullpen, they mm-hmm. went to their guys last night. And the Jays pieced them up.
That's their hot.
I think that's a pretty good bet. Again,
by the way,
you gotta
I love the, the Red Sox didn't have their closer. Tanner Houck can't come to Toronto. Well, first of all, you can come to Toronto. You just have to do the thing to come to Toronto. But also, like, he's been the closer for, like, 4 minutes. Your bullpen's just bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's more that part of it that I care about. The fact that he's just not very good. The Red Sox have blown 15 saves this season. Like, it's not about him. It's not about Robles. I will say that it was funny that they went to Robles, and I thought, you guys just, you know, this is the end of the game. Like, you're done now. You were better off leaving in the guy that I know less about, because I feel like every time I've seen Robles try to get a save situation, he's blown it this year. Like, he has killed them. He's the face of why they need to add a closer. They need to add swing and miss. I just think that number 4.5 is good. That's why, like, I was kind of surprised that 6.5 is the number for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that offense is good, but that's why I'm not playing that. Is like, 7 runs in a ball game.
The game
is
set at 11 for that game.
Yeah, no, that's in fact. I almost think that it's in Coors Field, so it's like it's a mm-hmm. Coors Field bump, I guess. And it's not a great pitcher, and it's the Dodgers, but. That's too high. It's just too rich for my blood to try to get it. I love 4.5 because you could totally see a 4-run inning for a team like the Blue Jays against the Red Sox tonight. And it's like, you know, you piece that together over the course of a game. I like that bet a lot. Again, my pick for tonight, I bet on the Marlins a lot because they're actually really good at the first 5. And I like their pitchers. I like this matchup. It's a little scary because it's early and you can always lose these bets immediately. But yeah, I'm going back to my first 3, not first 5. Taking this down a little bit because I don't like Pallante so many times, like through the order, where they're going to go with the bullpen after him. Sandy Alcantara, I think, is a very, very reliable guy, very, very reliable under King. And Blake Murphy, he says, no gimmicks from you today. Are you usually giving
just
out gimmick
win.
Bets? Is this what we're...
just the 5 innings or something like that. I don't know. Just it feels like it's been a while since I just picked the straight-up outcome.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I was like, so we're
this
out here giving out gimmicks. I see.
490 parlay for us today on Unibet.
Okay. So not quite what yesterday's was, but still a nice little parlay piece. Okay, so that's your Wake and Rake for today. Those 3 things plus 490. Again, nice little healthy baseball slate tonight. We definitely are into the period where it's like I'm waiting for like international basketball stuff or whatever, anything else to kind of add to the
Memorial Cup
plate.
Tonight.
Do you like anything? I don't have the odds in front of me.
We have somebody texting in about the Memorial Cup that we must watch. Apparently the Leafs pick looks really good in the tournament. Hamilton 2.5 over is this individual's pick.
Okay. Well, we won't add it to the
enough research
rate,
on the Memorial
I'll
Cup,
keep it under
but
observation.
That is something to watch tonight.
Okay. Well, that was today's Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. Again, crazy about the odds. We will catch you tomorrow for JD Blake and Ailish. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.